Good afternoon. It's good to see people. Just as people are filtering in, and why not just take time to introduce yourselves to each other around your tables? And you'll see a question there up on the screen behind me. And how would you feel if someone deliberately took the punishment for something serious you'd done wrong? Just a nice little light, friendly icebreaker there for you guys to chat about. And I'll just give you guys 5 minutes to get to know one another and chat about that question up on the screen before we get underway. Thanks very much. Well, sorry to interrupt those conversations you might be having. Good afternoon. If we haven't met already, my name is Glenn. I'm on the staff team here at the Aldersgate Talks. And I hope you had a good time just chatting about that question a little bit. Maybe you got a little more of an insight as to the people next to you, whether you trust them or not in the future. But before we start thinking about what we're looking at today, we're thinking about this question: why did Jesus die? Why did Jesus die? In week 3 of our Christianity 101 series, let me just quickly pray as we get underway. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lovely day. We thank you for the opportunity to come together. Lord, as we look at your word now, I pray you would speak to us and help us to know why Jesus came to die on a cross that we think about each Easter. And so, Lord, help us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So far in Christianity 101, we have thought about who Jesus is, why he came, and he is Jesus, God's Son, who came to seek and to save the lost. Now, as we've seen last week, the lost were those who were spiritually distant from God. Nothing they could do would draw them closer to God. And furthermore, they are trapped under the oppression of sin. They're blind to the reality that they have a problem or that they can do nothing about it. And they also fail to recognize who Jesus is. Now, it's not like they didn't know that he was coming either. Now, hundreds of years before this time, and when Luke's gospel was written, God promised through his messengers, the prophets, that Jesus would come. But just like what happened to the prophets back then, the people also failed to listen to Jesus and his claims. However, Jesus knew his fate as God's king, and it wasn't what anyone would have expected. So, for example, in Luke chapter 9, Jesus asks his followers, who do they think he is? Peter answers by saying, Jesus is the Christ of God. In other words, he is God's king. But after Peter says this, Jesus gives his followers some startling news that they just didn't understand. In Luke chapter 9, verses 21 to 22, Jesus says, and he strictly charged them and commanded them to tell us to no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Now here Jesus uses another royal title, the Son of Man, to refer to himself. And he tells them what will happen to him. He will die. And in fact, this is going to happen very soon. In fact, just a couple of weeks later, Jesus then says this: let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men. Now, nobody understood why Jesus came. But just before he reveals his mission to everyone, Jesus told his followers where he was going and why in Luke chapter 18. He said to them, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spat upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise. See there that Jesus said that he is going to Jerusalem to accomplish what was written about him. And that involves him dying. And so to answer our questions, we must see what the prophets say. But which of the prophets do we look to? Because when Jesus talks about the prophets, he's speaking about the Old Testament. And surely there's so much ground to cover there. I mean, you're on your lunch break here. There's no way we're going to get through the entire Old Testament in 20 minutes, are we? But in Luke chapter 22, Jesus offers us an insight of where to turn in order to find out more. Jesus and his followers are in Jerusalem at this point. And Jesus knows that he's moving closer to the time of his death. He encourages his followers to protect themselves for the incoming danger that lies ahead. But in Luke chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus says these words. "For I tell you that the scripture must be fulfilled in me, and he was numbered with the transgressors. For what is written about me has its fulfillment." Now Jesus is quoting from one of the prophets, Isaiah, whom we can find in the Old Testament. And here we will begin to understand why Jesus died. And you can follow along with me just on your sheet. Sarah and Naomi will read for us.
"He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all."
Now Isaiah was writing this 700 years before Jesus' lifetime. But back then he was making some powerful statements about him and what he will come to do. Jesus came to this earth and was promised to be the king. However, throughout his ministry he was rejected time and time again by his own people. Those who were identified as God's people were waiting for the one who would come as Christ and King. But when Jesus arrived, not only did they fail to recognize him, but they despised him and rejected him, just as the prophet Isaiah said would happen. Pick up your Luke's Gospels or in front of you and turn with me to page 75. And we will see how this plays out in Jesus' trial after he is arrested by the authorities and placed under trial in Luke chapter 23 from verse 13 onwards. "Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, 'You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him.' But they all cried together, 'Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas,' a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, 'Crucify! Crucify him!' And their voices prevailed." Now this rejection meant one thing, that Jesus would end up suffering on a cross. But his suffering wouldn't come just at the hands of men. Yes, the men shouted and pleaded to crucify Jesus, but Jesus' ultimate suffering would come from God. When Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah in Luke chapter 22, he mentions that he will be numbered with the transgressors. It's a puzzling statement, but it's one that we see coming true in Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 33, and you can follow along with me over the page on page 76. "Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him," that's Jesus. "And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left." But Jesus didn't just suffer in vain. Isaiah tells us that Jesus went to the cross in order to pay the price for something that we couldn't, our sins and transgressions.
"For surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed.
Now, last week we thought about how we are all spiritually blinded to our need for God because of our sin. And unfortunately, even if we were aware of our sin, there is nothing that we can do to save ourselves. Our sins are far too heavy and will always outweigh any good thing that we can do before God. The scales of justice do not weigh in our favor at all. And because of this, we are lost. Isaiah calls us here wandering sheep who have gone astray. And like sheep, sorry to say, we are all stupid and helpless. And as wandering sheep, we have all done stupid and dumb things. These things that are stupid and dumb are evil and wrong in God's sight, and offensive to him in every way. We deserve to be punished. But something amazing happened when Jesus went to the cross. Isaiah says this:
"And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all."
See, Jesus took the punishment that we deserved. Now imagine that your entire life was recorded like the Truman Show. Every little thing you did, your thoughts and emotions, everything was recorded and all the data was kept on this single disc. Now, just before you die, this disc will be played back to you. Now, I'm sure that there are some moments in your life that you would be proud of. That impossible deal that you pulled over the line. The job promotions, your graduation, the time you maybe got married, or when your first child was born. But then there's probably also those moments that you're less proud of as well. Those times you blew up when you got angry. Those times where you lost control of your senses and passions gave in. Or those times when you lied and cheated to get yourself out of trouble. The times that you let others down around you, or you thought wrongly about someone else. They're all weighed up, and they're all an offense to God. And your life story here, filled with sin, stops you from knowing God, who made you to know him. But when Jesus went to the cross, God takes that life of yours and he places it upon Jesus. Jesus, as Isaiah said, when he went to the cross, he took your sin, your iniquity, all the wrong things you've done, and he bears it all. Jesus was punished by God for us by taking the punishment of sin that we deserve on the cross. And so, Luke describes how this happens in this way, so that everyone can see how Jesus bore the wrath of God and suffered for our sin. It was now about the sixth hour, 12 o'clock in the day. And there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, about 3 p.m., while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Now, this darkness represents God's judgment coming down on Jesus in that time. And the curtain in the temple, which stopped people entering the most holy presence of God, tore apart, meaning the separation between us and God was gone. The payment of sin has been met by Jesus through his death. Isaiah told us this years before, so that we could have certain hope in the one who would come to achieve this. And Luke gives us the certainty here in his gospel to know that Jesus is the one that we can hope in as he fulfilled God's plan given to his people. And if this is true, well, so what? Well, Jesus died so that we could receive forgiveness from God. Now, if you refuse to accept that what I tell you is true, and one day you stand before God and he plays out his life before you, how would you feel then? Would you feel embarrassed? Would you feel angry at yourself? Or would you still feel like you were right to refuse, knowing who Jesus is and why he came? Well, as we've seen on the cross, two criminals hung either side of Jesus. One looked at Jesus and mocked him, but the other recognized who Jesus was as God's King, and he asked to be remembered. He saw who Jesus was, and he asked for mercy. And in doing so, Jesus gives him a greater promise. Jesus tells him this, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus died so that we too could receive this promise and hope in him, to be in paradise or heaven with Jesus, to be in heaven with God, where we can know him, free from sin, free from evil and oppression in this world, and free from death, the curse of sin. But in order for us to do this, we have to recognize who Jesus is, like the criminal did, and know that he is God's King, the one who had to die so that we can know the forgiveness of our sin if we trust in him. Jesus died so that we could be rescued from sin, a rescue that's only possible through him. So the question I want to leave you is this: will you trust him, or will you keep trusting yourself? You'll see there on your sheets that there are a couple of questions there. Why not spend time around your tables to discuss those questions, to look at Isaiah 53 again, and to look at the different reactions that we see to Jesus' death. I'll leave over to you guys, and then in a few moments I will just come up and bring us to a close. Thank you. Let me just say a quick prayer, and then that'll be us. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've looked at in your word, and pray you'd help us to continue seeing the point of why Jesus died, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and he took our place so that we could be set free. Father, help us to know and trust in Jesus' completed work for us, and to live in that hope each day. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all for me. Thank you very much. Take care.